We ought to obey the Lord.
Yeah. Yes.
Not only in this building, but out there in life. See, because church is not just gathering in a building and singing a few little songs and reading a little scripture and then going home. Church is living everyday life to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. But we don't live this life on our own. We don't live this life in our power and our strength. Because if you're trying to live this life in your power and in your strength and on your own, you're going to fail miserably. Here's the great news, though. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have God Himself living inside of you to give you the power and the strength to live the life. But you also have fellow believers around you to walk with you in this life. Too many of us try to make it on our own. May I tell you, it's impossible to live this life without God, but without fellow believers. You've got to have both of those things. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Corinthians. We're going to start there. We're going to end up back at 1 John in just a few minutes. But 1 Corinthians, I want to tell you a true story while you're finding 1 Corinthians. 3 or 4 years ago in the state of Alabama, there was a ball game that took place. Many of you know this ball game is the Iron Bowl. And at this particular game that took place, Auburn had beaten Alabama. Now, if you have any idea about football and the state of Alabama, that's the one time of the year that families are separated. That's the one time of the year that regardless of your blood relation, if you don't cheer for the same team, you hate each other on that one day a week or one day a year. Well, 3 or 4 years ago, the ball game had ended and Auburn had beaten Alabama. And as the ball game was ending, of course, the Alabama fans were very upset and sad. And in this one particular household, the Alabama fans had lost the game. The Auburn fans had won, and they were cheering and screaming and everything else. But a couple of people had decided to indulge in alcoholic beverages a little more than they should have throughout the day. And one particular fan was not upset about the ball game losing. He wasn't upset about it. He said, you know what, hey, bygones be bygones. But his cousin was very upset, screaming and hollering and saying, what do you mean? They lost the ball game. I can't believe you're not more angry. He says, listen, it's not that big of a deal. It's just a ball game. He says, no, it's life and death. And he pulled out a gun and he killed his cousin. He shot him right there over the result of a stupid football game. What was supposed to be a time of fellowship and supposed to be a time of gathering and enjoying one another turned very tragic because of the fact that somebody took life a little too seriously than they should have over a stupid football game. Brothers and sisters, we are to fellowship one with another, and we're to love one another, and we're to support one another, not hurt one another. If you realize and understand it, in this very room right now, matter of fact, probably in every single pew that's occupied, there's somebody hurting today. They've had a rough morning. They've had a rough week. They've had a rough month. They've had a rough year. There's been tragedy. There's been sickness. There's been all kinds of things. Maybe they're barely getting their way through life right now. And if you are one of those people this morning, may I tell you, there is hope in Jesus Christ. But not only in Jesus Christ, that's your first and most important thing, is to ask Jesus Christ to save you, to experience mercy and grace that is so prevalent through what Jesus Christ has done. But also, fellow believers were to support and help one another. Look what 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 talks about this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, not chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 12. This is our jumping off point before we get back to 1 John. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 12. Paul writes these words, of course, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Says this, for as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. How many of you have more than one appendage this morning? How many of you have more than one member in your body? We all do. All right? Bones and organs and cells and all these kinds of things. You're one body, but it has a whole bunch of moving, living parts. Same thing as the body of Christ. Verse number 13. He says, "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink in one Spirit." When you trust Jesus Christ, your Savior, you're no longer an individual. You belong to one body. But you've got to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. There's a lot of people in life trying to make it on their own. A lot of people trying to deal with issues of life on their own, without Christ and without other people. Well, I can make it myself. No, you can't make it yourself. You can't turn over a new leaf and you can't have a new start. You've got to have, number one, Jesus Christ. And number two, you've got to have fellow believers to walk in you with this life. Verse number 14. "For the body is not one member, but many." Then he kind of gets facetious here. He says, "If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body?" So he kind of gets facetious and says, listen, what if the foot declares that it's not as important as the hand, so therefore it's not part of the body? Or, heaven forbid, the ear declare that it's not the eye, so it doesn't belong in the body. He says, listen, does that make it so? Absolutely not. It's part of the body. Brothers and sisters, if you trust in Jesus Christ, your Savior, you're part of the body. You're important. You're just as vital. How many of you agree the ear is just as important as the eye? How many of you agree that the foot is just as important as the hand? If you've ever stubbed your little toe or your big toe, it's important. Guess what? You may not be a hand, but you are an important part of the body of Christ. Jesus died for you. You're important, therefore. Look what he says now in verse number 17. "If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? If everybody was an eye, you couldn't hear." That's what he's saying. "But now has God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased Him." When Jesus Christ saved your soul, He placed you where He wanted you to be, specifically with a specific mission. Your mission in life as a Christian is not to come sit in here on a Sunday morning and simply say, "Brother Brian, you bless me, you teach me, and then I'm just going to go home and live in my life." Wrong! Can you imagine if your eyeballs just decided, you know what, we're going to stop working because we just don't feel like singing anymore? How miserable life would be? How many of you realize your heart is a pretty important organ in your body? What if your heart decided, if it could, to stop pumping blood? You would die. If the members of the body of Christ decided to stop living for the Lord, guess what's going to happen to the body? It's going to die. So that's what he's saying. He says, every person is vital and important. Every single one of you are vital and important to the body of Christ. So if you've trusted Christ, your Savior, Miss Linda, you're just as important as Brother Danny. You're better looking than Brother Danny too, but you're just as important as Brother Danny is. Jojo, you're just as important as Brother Tanner. God has placed you here for a reason, buddy. Everybody's important in the body of Christ. Y'all getting that so far? Okay, now, he continues with this. "And if all were one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Yea, much more those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. Everybody has a necessary part. We say, Brother Brian, I am not very intelligent. Or I am not very this, and so I can't do this. Well, guess what? You may not be able to ever give up and give a testimony. You may never be able to get up here and sing in the choir. You may not be able to ever do anything. But you can do something for the Lord because you belong to Him. There is no lone wolves in the body of Christ. But too many of us try to make it on our own, and we suffer for it. I remember as a little kid. Now, kids, do not do this, okay? This is one of those do not do stories. But I remember as a little kid, one of my friends dared me to take a rubber band and to wrap it around my pinky at school. Okay? And they said, wrap it about, and it'll turn different colors. It'll be a neat thing to do. Now, how many of you recognize that's a stupid thing to do? So I did it. And it did sure turn colors. Red and blue. And it started puffing up. And I thought, wow, that is so neat. And then I got home. And I began to play and everything else. And eventually it started feeling weird. And I said, that's not right. But my pinky is not that big of an important part of my body. I mean, I couldn't do without it, I thought. So I just kept on going throughout the day. Pretty soon it started throbbing to the point where I was in great amount of pain. And I went to my mom and I said, Mom, my pinky hurts. And she says, what'd you do to it? I said, I didn't do nothing. I showed it to her. And that rubber band had done gotten so constricted and the pinky had swole up. The blood flow had been cut off. How many of you agree a pinky's pretty important? See, the problem was I had decided that I didn't need my pinky as much as the rest of my body. Brothers and sisters, you're important. And your pain in the body of Christ causes pain in the body of Christ. Your needs are just as important as everybody else's needs in the body of Christ. Your obedience to the Lord is just as important to everybody else in your obedience to the Lord for the body of Christ. What you do is desperately needed. Musicians, singers, man, I am glad God has placed you here because you don't want me singing. You don't want me playing an instrument because I can't do either. But God has placed people here that can worship Christ and lead others to worship Christ by doing those things. The fellows that run the sound booth, the blessed people that are down in the nursery, people who teach the Sunday school class, people who blow the leaves, people do anything. You're a vital, important aspect of the body of Christ. Don't give up. You're important and you're vital. He continues. Verse number 22. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble, they're necessary. And of those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon those we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Everybody is important. And you cannot live this life. You cannot live for Christ on your own. You need other people. So let me ask you a question. Why do you try to do it on your own then? When you struggle and you hurt and you're upset, why do you decide to close yourself up in a cocoon and say, well, I can do it on my own? You can't do it on your own. If you've got a problem, you need brothers and sisters to come alongside you and help you in this. A pinky is just as important as the brain. Everybody is vital. So, now with this thought process in your mind, with the importance of other people in your mind, go to 1 John with me real quick. That was all introduction. That was free. It didn't cost you a single thing. 1 John chapter number 2. Now, we've been talking about salvation, and we've been talking about the importance of following God and demonstrating that we belong to Jesus Christ. All right? Chapter 2, verse number 1. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that says, I know him, and keeps not his commandments, he is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that says he abides in him ought also to walk even as he walked. We read that and we see that God says, if you say you belong to me, but you really don't demonstrate it by the way you're living your life, you are a liar. Because look what he says. We know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Now, that doesn't mean that you're perfect in everything that you do. It doesn't mean that you've got it all figured out, but to demonstrate the Holy Spirit living inside of you, your life is going to be a demonstration of that. Okay? How many agree? An apple grows on apple trees. You don't find tomatoes under the ground growing with potatoes. All right? Everybody is proper. It grows like that. All right? But here's the problem. We see that, and we say, I guess I got to do it on my own. I guess I got to keep God's commandments, and I know I'm saved, but I got to keep them on my own. But the problem is, this set of verses here is surrounded by using and helping from other people. Let me show you what I mean here. Look at chapter number 1 of 1 John. All right? Look at what it says in verse number 1. That which was from the beginning we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. We've studied over this. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us, talking of Jesus Christ, that which we have seen and have declared we unto you, that you also may have fellowship, have in common with us. See, he says, when you trust Jesus as your Savior, you have commonality with other believers. You are an important part of the body of Christ. So when you trust Christ, you belong to everybody else. Even if you do cheer for the Tennessee Volunteers, it don't matter. Okay? You belong to each other. That's temporary. Eternity is forever because of what Jesus Christ has done. Okay? So, when you trust Christ, you have fellowship one with another. And because you have fellowship one with another, we help each other grow in the Lord. That's why Sunday school is so vital. That's why Sunday morning is so vital. That's why Wednesday night is so vital. That's why Monday Bible study at somebody's house is so vital. That's why every day we live for Christ is so vital. You cannot make it on your own. You've got to have other believers walk with you. How many of you recognize that? So, if you're trying to have fellowship with Christ, and you're trying to keep His commandments, you've got to have other believers walking with you in it. Now, go back to chapter number 2. He says, we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. We demonstrate it. He that says, I know Him, and keeps not His commandments, doesn't follow His word, he's a liar and the truth is not in him. That's very plain. You say you belong to Jesus Christ, but you don't live according to what He teaches, you're a stinking liar. That's what he's saying here. For whoso keepeth His word in him, verily is the love of God perfected, growing, maturing in us. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that says he abides in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Here's the great thing. Jesus never walked alone. Do you notice that? As he walked on this earth, he was surrounded by others. Now, he would go and pray on his own, and he would spend time with the Father, but he was never alone. Brothers and sisters, why are you trying to live life alone? Teenagers, it's so easy for you to get in your rooms and get on that stinking phone, and you think you're communicating. That's not communication. That's just being alone with a phone. And all the parents said, what did you ever do before phones came along? We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. Remember the landlines? Before we had video games at our hand, what did we do? We went outside and played with sticks and rocks and all kinds of good stuff. It was always a group of people around and helping us. But what's happened now is that we feel like we're all by ourselves in the most active world that there is. Brothers and sisters, you're not alone. I'm not against cell phones, so please don't walk out here and say, well, Brother Brian hates cell phones. No, if your cell phone becomes your constant companion instead of relating with other people, it becomes a problem. Amen. I know I'm treading on dangerous ground here. So he's saying, if you claim to be a Christian, you're going to live according to what God wants you. Not perfect, but as you continue to grow in him, he makes you more mature as you walk in him. Now, I'm glad it doesn't stop right there. Let me show you what it continues. Okay? Brethren, he says in verse 7. Now remember, he's talked about fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. And then when that happens, you become fellowship with fellow believers. Now he says, hey, this is how you ought to live your life. Now he's speaking to brothers again. He says this, I write no new commandment unto you, but instead I'm giving you an old commandment, which you had from the very beginning. He says, you've known this from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. He says, listen, you know what I'm about to tell you. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because darkness is past and have true light now shineth. He that says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and knows not where he goes, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. You belong to each other. And if we don't love each other in their faults and in their failures, and we don't walk with each other in their victories and in their faults and their failures, we are not loving people like we need to be loving people. And therefore, we're not walking as Jesus Christ walked. Can you imagine 3 years walking with the Son of God? Can you imagine the pressure that would put upon us? I remember the very first time I met my mother-in-law. Melissa and I had met in Florida, and I knew my mother-in-law was a very godly lady. She still is. And she's a very, very, and I was intimidated. Even though I was going to Bible college, I was still very intimidated to meet her, because my wife had told me all about her. And I said, oh my goodness, she's going to, was she going to chew me up and eat me up? And I can't handle it. I was afraid to meet her. When I got to her house, the very first meal that we had was fried catfish. I had never had fried catfish in my life. Being from the desert, catfish is not very common. And so we sat down to eat, and I was so intimidated and so afraid of what I was going to be, what they were thinking of me and everything else, that I took one bite of that catfish and ate a little bit, and I got sick to my stomach. And it had nothing to do with the catfish. It was because my stomach was in turmoil. Because I was so intimidated by her. So I had to get up from the middle of the table and go to the bathroom, and you know what happens after that. And they looked at Melissa when I left, and they said, "What's wrong with that boy?" I was intimidated because I had placed her on such a high pedestal that I couldn't relate to her. Brothers and sisters, don't place other Christians on a high pedestal when you can relate to each other, because we're all struggling. Now, it's got nothing to do with catfish, but we all struggle. We all have addictions. We all have problems in our life. And instead of condemning one another, instead of judging one another, we ought to be walking one with another. But what happens is Satan lies to us and says, "You can do it on your own. You don't need anybody's help." "Well, I'm afraid though, Brother Bart, if I go and talk to somebody, if I come talk to you, you're going to use me as a sermon illustration." Well, no, I'm just going to talk about little Melvin's all I'm going to talk about. "I'm so afraid, Brother Brian, to go and talk to my parents. So I'm so afraid to go and talk to my youth pastor. I'm so afraid to go and talk to somebody. I'll just suck it up and do it myself." You're going to fail. You need people to come alongside you. And that's what John's trying to help us understand. If you say you belong to Jesus, but you don't walk according to what he says, you're lying. But he says, listen, as you abide in the light with fellow believers, it helps you mature and it demonstrates love one for another. So if Brother Danny comes to me and says, "Brian, I need help with my vocal talents," I'll say, "Well, Brother Danny, I'm not the right person to help, but I'll pray with you." But if he comes to me and says, "Hey, Brother Brian, I need help with," and it's something that I've been through, something I know the Bible teaches, then he and I can sit down and we can walk one with another in that. Not everybody can help you with everything, but there's everything that can be handled by somebody in the body of Christ. Am I making sense to y'all? You can't walk in the Lord by yourself. But here's the most important thing. You have somebody greater living inside of you. Go to John chapter 10 real quick. Let me show you real quick. John chapter 10. The very same man that God used to write 1 John wrote John chapter 10. Or John chapter 14, I'm sorry, not 10, John 14. Verse number 15, he says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." There it is. "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you until you mess up again." How long will the Comforter abide inside of you? We're in church, you can say it. Forever. It means the Holy Spirit will never lead you. Never, never, never leave you. Comforter. Someone to walk alongside you. Someone to bring you understanding and peace and direction. Because guess what? I will fail you. Not on purpose, but the Holy Spirit never will fail you. You need Him first and foremost. And then you need fellow believers to walk with you in this life called Christianity. Am I making sense to y'all? Well, if I'm not, I'm hoping this is. You say, "Brother Brian, I'm struggling observing and keeping God's commandments." And I'm not talking about the Ten Commandments. I'm talking about just the way of life. "I'm struggling there, Brother Brian. man, it seems like I do 2 or 3 days of doing good and I just fall right back in. And I don't know what to do. Here's some good news. If you're desiring to do what God wants you to do, but you're struggling, you're a normal human being. Remember the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7 says, to paraphrase, he said, there's times that I do that I don't want to do. And there's times that I don't do what I want to do. He says, oh, wretched man that I am. Did Paul give up? He said, no. He says, then I go to God and He helps me. Are you struggling today? Are you wanting to keep His commandments? Are you wanting to walk in His way? Ask Him to strengthen you, but ask Him also to help you find someone to walk with you in this. You can't do it yourself. But as a caveat, be very careful who you choose to rely upon. The Bible says that wisdom comes from a multitude of counselors. But my interpretation sometimes says, be careful who you talk about because their mouth runneth over. Ask God to show you who you can trust to walk with you. I can promise you, I will walk with you in the good and the bad. I've walked with many of you in that. I'll continue to do that. Brother Tanner, the Sunday school teachers, people in this church are godly people. Will walk with you. You don't have to live alone. There's grace and mercy in Jesus Christ. And then there's other believers who will walk with you in life itself. Now, it's 1 o'clock. Somewhere. May I tell you, I had to preach and continue to preach this message to myself every day. I have one of the loneliest vocations there are. May I tell you, I need this just like you do. We need to pray for one another. We need to reach out one to another. We need to love one another. If you love me, Jesus said, keep my commandments. And He said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have hate one toward another. Is that what He said? If you have love one toward another. Love is demonstrated by walking one with another. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand together. You cannot make it on your own. And if there's anything that you have learned from what God's Word has said this morning, you need Jesus Christ and you need other believers. You cannot make it without those two things. So Christian, fellow believers, brethren, I'm begging you, do not try to live on your own. It's not going to work. You're going to struggle, you're going to hurt, you're going to fail. Get with fellow believers who love you and want to help you. We belong one to another. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have an inkling maybe of something, but you're not. May I tell you and beg you this morning, trust Jesus Christ for salvation. President Biden said that the Armageddon is close. If Putin decides to be stupid, then guess what? We know what's going to happen. What if it took place today? Where would your soul be? If you know Christ, you have heaven. But if you don't know Christ, you go to a place called hell that God didn't create for you. Trust Jesus Christ, and then trust each other to walk in this life we call Christianity. Heavenly Father, you know our needs and our situations of life today. Thank you for the privilege of being able to share your word with these precious folks here today. Lord, but most importantly, thank you for what your Son, Jesus Christ, has done. Your word clearly teaches that he became sin for us. He died on that cross in our place so that we would not have to have death and separation from you. He took our sin and he died and he was buried. But oh God, thank you that he arose again. And even this very moment, he's sitting next to you making intercession for us. So Father, thank you for that. When we trust him as our Savior, when we call upon his name as your word says, then we become born again. But Lord, I'm concerned that there's some fellow believers in this room that are trying to do it on their own, trying to make it on their own. They're struggling and they don't know what to do. May they turn to somebody. May they turn to me. May they turn to a fellow believer and say, I need your help. Please walk with me. But Lord, there may be some precious souls in this room that have never trusted Christ as their Savior. They're playing the game. May today be that different day when they trust Christ as their Savior. You know the needs. You know what's going on. And I thank you love us instead of condemning us through your Son. Thank you for loving us so much. Now, Father, please, you do what needs to be done. I can't do it. I just want to be a willing vessel to help somebody. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed as Ms. Doris plays. If you have a need this morning, whatever the need is, you want to pray by yourself, you're perfectly fine. You want to come and pray with somebody, you're welcome. But stop trying to make it on your own. You can't. Walk with fellow believers. Walk with the Lord.